Good morning. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 8th. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Are you concerned about the reliability, the accuracy of touchscreen voting machines? Well, I know some listeners are because I'm frequently asked to do programs on the issue during my open lines and through listener emails, even though Wisconsin polling places don't rely on these touchscreen machines. We, for the most part, have those optical scanning machines, which have a paper ballot. But the touchscreen voting machines are in use in many, many counties and states, in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida and other states that continue to prompt concerns as they are pivotal states that have lots of presidential electoral delegates that will help determine who will be the next president. So can we count on these machines? That's the title of a piece that was in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine, written by our guest this hour, and we will welcome your questions and concerns for Clive Thompson. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. That's toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Clive Thompson. He's a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. His article, Can You Count on These Machines?, appeared in the Sunday, January 6th issue. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very good. Thanks for being with us.
No problem.
So, we don't have hanging chads anymore, but what do we have?
Well, what we have is about one-third, a little more, the electorate votes on touchscreen machines right now. And they were sort of brought in originally sort of to get rid of the problems of hanging chads. It was back in 2000. The government was sort of sufficiently appalled by the problems down in Florida where you had votes that were kind of half there and half not, you know. The chad was, you know, sort of hanging there. So there was, sometimes you get an argument over, did the person intend to vote or not? And they decided that what they needed was some sort of solution that was going to not have any ambiguity. It would record the vote either as yes or no, but nothing in between. And they thought that computers would be much more precise. And so essentially they passed the Help America Vote Act, $4 billion handed out to counties across the country to get rid of punch card machines. It didn't specifically say that you had to get touchscreen machines, but the implication was pretty clear. And the they were the new machine on the block. They were being being promoted very strongly by the companies that make voting machines. And you know, they promised a lot more clarity because, you know, you touch the screen and either your vote is recorded or it's not, but there's certainly not going to be any dangling piece of paper, right? So that was the promise, and you know, it probably made sense at the time. But what happened was that the machines started to demonstrate, you know, the type of problems you might expect when you think about it with computers, which is that they work fine most of the time. And then in a small minority of times, they display some very aberrant behavior, or they crash, or do something weird, you know, just the way that your computer at work.
Yeah, like it is this morning. Yeah,
yeah, it works fine the vast majority of the time, and every once in a while, just does something kind of weird or inexplicable. And that's because, you know, it's very complicated software. This stuff is hundreds of thousands of lines long, and whenever anyone writes software, it's really complicated. There's just going to be a certain number of bugs in it, basically. It's almost a sort of a law of nature with software programming. And you see, you've got these machines. They start demonstrating various forms of errors. You know, over the years, people have reported things ranging from their votes appearing to flip in front of them, in front of their eyes. They touch one part of the screen, the vote would appear somewhere else, and they couldn't quite get it to. And to have to touch it over and over again to try and get it to actually register the right candidate, or they would find the vote sort of appeared to just vanish. I mean, there's one small town, Arkansas, literally a town of 80 people, and someone ran for mayor, And he voted for himself, and the next day he was registered as having no votes.
and you can be pretty certain he voted for himself.
And there's you know, just crashes. You know, machines would literally just stop working, freeze up. Sometimes the servers that count the votes, like a central server, would display strange behavior. They would start counting backwards. In some cases, they would register more votes than there were people that lived in the area. So essentially what you've got is a bunch of classic computer malfunctions that were happening, and there's literally hundreds and thousands of these reports.
Yeah.
These are the touch screen machines, though, not like the optical scanner machines in Wisconsin.
That's right, yeah. These are touch screen machines. Yeah. Basically, it's like they're pretty much inside each of those machines, there's a computer. So there's essentially a computer that's probably as powerful as a laptop was maybe 10 years ago, or perhaps as powerful as a handheld computer is today.
Yeah. Now, these are way back of, I think was it Diebold or Diebold in Ohio? The president of that company or the CEO of that company had made some sort of statement that we will deliver Ohio's mm-hmm. votes to President Bush.
Right.
Are these problems, man-made?
Malicious, right. Are they malicious? Mm-hmm. It was his attempt to throw in elections? Certainly, when he said that, that raised the alarm amongst a lot of critics of the machines. They thought, "Oh my goodness, if one of the guys at the companies that makes a significant amount of the machines, Diebold has perhaps a third of the market thereabouts. I'm not 100% sure it's around there. If he's a Bush supporter, maybe that's why the machines are they're not trustworthy." Basically, the way I look at it is that the potential to do shenanigans from within is certainly there with these machines. A manufacturer could program them to tip an election one way or another, and it would probably be very hard to detect it. That's absolutely true. Is it likely? I don't think so. The serious critics of these machines don't think so. In fact, what's happened over the years is that whereas in the early days, the criticism of these machines was mostly about the fact that they had a lot of security vulnerabilities. They could be reasonably easily hacked. Someone from the outside could reprogram them without anyone noticing to throw an election. I thought that's actually true, and that's still a significant problem with these machines. But whereas that was the issue early on, even the people, the computer scientists who exposed these vulnerabilities, don't really think anyone has yet actually done so.
I've got to jump in because we have to take a weather break, and then we'll continue talking with Clive Thompson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 8th. Coming up later today, Ben Marins is with you for At Issue, talking about current issues of the day. After 6 o'clock, it's On Point, and special programming after 7, from 7 until 10, National Public Radio's special news coverage of the New Hampshire primary results. That's coming up tonight after 7 o'clock. Tomorrow during this hour, we'll have another guest analyst in to talk about what happened in New Hampshire and why and where the presidential race goes from here. That's tomorrow during this hour. Right now, we are talking with Clive Thompson. He is a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. His article, Can You Count on These Machines?, was in Sunday's issue of the New York Times Magazine. In it, he provides a chilling record of what has happened since the 2000 presidential vote, when there were so many problems with voting. Hundreds of counties nationwide have invested in cutting-edge touchscreen voting technology that he found out can be on the fritz quite frequently. We're wondering if this concerns you and what questions you have for him. And can we trust the results of our presidential primaries and presidential election with these machines doing the counting. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. Before we go to the phones, Clive Thompson, right now New Hampshire does not count on these machines. Is that right?
No, that's right. They use paper balloting.
Yeah, but you say that up to a third of polling places for the primaries and for the general do have these machines?
Yeah, right now the number is about 38%. A few states have started ditching these machines, so it'll probably, by next presidential election, it'll probably go down to about a little over a third of the electorate.
But that's enough to cause you concern?
Well, I mean, yes, because you don't really need more than a very small number of votes to have troubles to cause a big problem. I mean, this is really the scenario. Here's the scenario that people worry about with these machines. The electorate's very, very tightly divided right now. I mean, you've got presidential elections that are swinging by, you know, it comes down to a few hundred votes, which is what happened in 2000. So when elections are tight, accuracy is extremely important, particularly recountability is extremely important. I mean, that's the whole reason that these machines came in the first place, right? So what people worry about is this situation. Let's say that you let's take a look at a state like Pennsylvania, which is a swing state, and where the presidential election often comes down quite narrowly decided. They also run in majority of counties touchscreen machines, and many of those machines don't have any paper trail at all. Legally, they're not allowed to have a paper trail. So you have to trust just what's on the computer. There's never any paper record to look at. Now, imagine this. Imagine that the presidential election comes down to a few thousand votes in Pennsylvania, it being the central swing state, or maybe even a few hundred votes, let's say. So there's an automatic recount. And during the recount, the loser, be they Republican or Democratic, discovers that, 10% of the machines displayed some sort of aberrant failure on the day of the election. They crashed, something weird happened, voters came out complaining they saw votes flipped. Well, what's going to happen is that they will basically be able to then say, we want to mount a legal challenge to this. We don't trust what these machines did, and we're going to fight it. And it will be very hard to stop that type of legal challenge because they might have a good point. It's hard to tell. That's the thing about these devices. In retrospect, it's very difficult to say with 100% certainty that any sort of aberrant behavior did not destroy votes. So you've got a potential for something to go right back up to the Supreme Court again. So the real problem is that they engender doubt. They make it hard for the loser to believe that they lost. And in that type of situation, you're looking at a Supreme Court challenge again, and that is... if that happens again within 10 years, you've got practically a constitutional crisis on your hands.
Yeah, John in Milwaukee joins us first. Hello, John.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions. One, could we eliminate some of the problems, at least from external threats, by not having the machine networked to a server? I don't know why we can't just have each machine giving a result. This way, if a machine is wrong, it doesn't infect anything else, and then the polling places would have to, tally up the totals from the various machines and send them, in some non-computer manner, at least not on the same network. And the second question I have, because I know very little about computers, but it doesn't seem to me that the software necessary to count votes in a selection of, five people is complicated. What must be complicated is the touchscreen aspect of it. And can't these machines be changed so that they look more like an ATM where you're pressing a button? Which, I mean, this just isn't complicated computing. You could do, person, that person, that person.
Do you know the answer to those questions, Clive Thompson?
Sure, yeah, those are great points. The first point is that actually they're not networked. It works much as you said. Each machine tallies its votes on a memory card is removed and brought to the central election building to be tallied. So the only problem there is that what happens is the fact that there's a memory card, those memory cards often get lost, or they wind up somehow mysteriously not recording any votes, or they are actually a vector for attack. One computer science professor discovered that the memory cards actually could be infected with a virus that could go from one machine to another. So they're actually a vulnerability problem. But there's not a networking problem of the sort you mentioned. Now, the second point you raise is a very good one, which is if the touchscreens themselves are a problem, and in many cases that's been a complaint, that the touchscreens are out of calibration. That's why the votes flip from one to another. Why not just use, you know, hard-coded buttons the way that ATMs do? That's actually, I think that's a great solution, quite frankly. Unfortunately, it's hard to rejigger these machines to do that. You'd literally have to just go out and buy another $4 billion worth of machines, and there's probably no financial mandate to do that. But you're quite right, that would be a good solution for at least that problem, the problem of screen calibration.
Thanks, John. Milt in West Allis. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, there's a number of forms of crime that are actually going on. I would encourage people to go to YouTube or one of the other big video sites and see the congressional testimony of a man named Clint Curtis, who wrote a security testing program, which he says was used to steal votes. This never made it to the mainstream media. Okay, we also need to look at tabulation companies, because what we're finding very often now is that, okay, such as in Iowa the other day, we have precincts sending their tabulations by an 800 number to some little-known private company, which may be actually a foreign company, and, you know, we don't know how they count the votes.
Yeah. All right. We have a newscast coming up in just a couple of minutes. So, Clive Thompson, do you know this Clint Curtis guy?
Yeah, actually, I heard of the testimony. I haven't actually seen it myself, so unfortunately, I can't comment on it. But I did hear about it, certainly. As for tabulation, the issue of tabulation is a good one. In fact, the point you raised about the sort of role of private sector companies is an interesting issue insofar as a lot of the smaller counties don't have great, I guess for lack of a better phrase, computer smarts. The elections directors might be wonderfully honest, forthright people, but they when they buy these machines, they are often suddenly in control of hundreds or even thousands of computers. They are now the biggest IT department in their entire county, with no training at all. And so they wind up having to rely very much on the vendor that sold them to maintain them, to update them, to design the ballots, to help with tabulation and all these different things. And that's become a concern for a lot of citizens. They've said, well, what's happening here is that a core responsibilities for conducting election are being outsourced, and the vendor, you know, has sort of a conflict of interest in necessarily telling the county the truth if something goes wrong. You know, they don't want to lose the contract. So if there's an error in the machines or in the servers, are they really going to be honest with you the way that, you know, is a mechanic going to be honest with you when you bring your car in and say, is it fixed? How much will it cost? So there's a private sector issue here that a lot of citizens have been very concerned about that I think cuts to what you're talking about.
Our guest is Clive Thompson, contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. We're talking about what he learned for his article, Can You Count on These Machines?, which was in Sunday's New York Times Magazine, questioning the reliability, the accuracy of the touchscreen voting machines used in many states. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Tuesday, January the 8th. We are talking about voting machines, touchscreen voting machines, and whether we can count on this technology. Our guest is a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine, and he wrote an article on this, Can You Count on These Machines?, that appeared in this past Sunday's New York Times Magazine. His name is Clive Thompson, and you can talk with him about what he learned. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll go back to the phones and take our next caller, George in Milwaukee. Hi, George, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering if the guests could tell us a little bit about what goes on in other modern industrialized countries in terms of voting. It's my understanding that some countries still just do everything by paper ballot, and they seem to get the results tabulated rather quickly, and I'm wondering why we can't go back to that kind of a system ourselves.
Clive Thompson?
Well, it depends on what you mean by paper balloting. If you mean paper balloting is counted by humans, that's fallen into a bit of disfavor, certainly in the U.S. And many places across the world, because it's actually fairly easy to cheat or fraud an election with that. The golden rule of elections, if you look at the hundreds and hundreds of year history of elections, that any time humans are allowed to handle a paper vote, shenanigans can and will happen. The votes will vanish. They will be messed up by a secretly hidden pencil so that they become an invalid ballot. All sorts of problems will happen. That's one of the reasons why a lot of modern paper balloting tries to take the human handler out of the equation by having the voter mark the ballot with a pen and paper themselves, filling in the dots on a sort of like almost like a test, like an LSAT-like piece of paper, but then the votes themselves are fed into scanners that automatically count them. It's a lot faster, which is useful, and B, you don't have the problem of human error in counting. You do have to be careful with the machines. They can have calibration errors if you don't watch out. You know, if you don't feed them in correctly, or if they're not calibrated so the dots are read correctly, there can be problems. And they themselves are susceptible to hacking. That's been proven in the past. There's been computer scientists have figured out how to hack those machines and throw elections. But by and large, they're a lot less complicated than touchscreens, and they have the advantage of, in a recount, you can do the old school job of pulling them up by hand and looking at them. So basically, this is why a lot of the critics of touchscreens say that the best alternative, the one that has the least amount of flaws, because every voting system is imperfect and has some flaws, the one that has the least amount of flaws is voting on paper ballots and then scanning them inside optical scanners.
Yeah, that's the system Wisconsin has for the most part. These touchscreen machines do have a paper trail or not?
Well, some of them do, some of them don't. There's different models. For example, the AccuVote TSX, which is made by Premier Election Systems, a division of Diebold, it has a paper trail. It's like, if you can imagine this, it's like a little cash register roll, and it's right next to the screen. It's beneath a piece of plexiglass. You're not allowed to actually touch or remove it. But the way it works is you type your selections on the screen. You're tapping the screen, and then after you say vote, you'll hear a little clattering and clicking, and the little roll will advance, and it will show you what your vote is printed in very small print beneath the plexiglass. And what you're supposed to do is look at it, verify that your vote is correct, and then only then will you hit the final vote button, right? So the idea is there that that's supposed to be a safeguard from the machine being an error, because if there should be a recount, you can crack open the paper and use that to do a recount. That's the theory. In practice, the problem is that those paper trails appear to have problems 20% of the time, which is to say that 20% of the paper rolls will have some sort of error, i.e. the paper will jam and stop advancing, so it won't record votes, or it won't advance at all, or the paper will be put in upside down and it won't print because it's thermal paper. So that's a rather high number, 20% of the failure rate for those paper trails. That's for a machine that does have a paper trail. There are many machines that don't have paper trails for various reasons, either because the county officials don't want one because they think it would be too much of a hassle, or in some cases, legally, they're not allowed to. In Pennsylvania, for example, state law says that you cannot have any voting system where it would be even theoretically possible to figure out how someone voted. So they decided that if there was a paper roll with votes attached to it, you could theoretically look back. You could count who came out of the voting booth at what time and then spool the paper backwards and figure out how they voted. So they decided by law that you cannot have that type of paper. They're not saying you couldn't have another paper trail. If there was one that just spat out little receipts the way that an ATM machine works, those would be randomized. That would be okay. But there are no machines that do that. The only paper trails on these machines right now are sequential paper rolls. So by law, Pennsylvania cannot have a paper trail right now.
Yeah, so is there, Clive Thompson, a fix to this in these various states that have these various problems, or are we doomed to repeat problems of past presidential elections?
Well, the long-term solution is probably the way most of the secretaries of state that I've spoken to are concerned about the machines, what they see as a long-term result, the solution for them is to go back to a system that they trust more. And the one, as I mentioned before, that seems to be currently favored is optical scanning of paper ballots. Now, the problem is you have to do this carefully because every time you switch voting systems, you have to retrain your entire department. You have to retrain hundreds or even thousands of volunteer workers. And generally, it's regarded that you have to go through three election cycles before you really know how to use the system. So part of the problem is a lot of the places that are using these touchscreen machines have only started using them in the last 5 years. They're still going through their learning curves. If they switch on a dime to try and use paper before the next presidential election, they could cause even more problems in a good-hearted attempt to get away from their current problems. They could cause even more problems by rapidly, in a rush, going over to a new system. It's been said you should take about 18 months of training in the background before you switch over to a new system. So, yes, switching a system to paper is regarded as a more reliable way to run an election, but there's not really enough time between now and the next presidential election to do this in a secure and safe way for most counties, if they're concerned. In fact, down in Ohio, Secretary of State decided that she was going to require that their single largest county, Cuyahoga County, 1.3 million voters, that it switch from their touchscreen machines to paper balloting in 3 months. And a lot of people are predicting that is just too fast and too difficult. They're going to encounter problems. So we'll see.
Thanks. Kyle in Lake Geneva is next. Hi, Kyle. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, and thank you so much for talking about this issue. This is insanely important, and nobody talks about it. I am terrified of electronic voting machines, and I'll tell you why. At some of the companies your guest has brought up, there were four companies in 2000 which did controlled all the voting machines, Diebold, ESNS, Sequoia and Hart, and all of these companies have had problems with their CEOs being tied to political organizations and political donations. Sequoia, who was responsible for Florida, was taken to court, and its former employees have said in court that the company purposely manufactured poor quality paper ballots, and that all the hanging Chad problems were intentionally caused. The state governments in California and Florida and other states have taken some of these companies to court over some of these problems, and it's just terrifying. We have to remember that the computer itself might not have any personal views, but there are people in charge behind these computers that have been proven to be biased and are involved in all kinds of just terrible, dirty yet open secrets that we need to be very careful about.
That sounds more conspiracy than just computer glitches, Clive Thompson.
Well, here's what I would say about that. First off, I can't really comment knowledgeably on it because the research in my story didn't focus on the question of whether or not any of the insiders at the companies might have maliciously tampered with the machines. I'm not saying it isn't possible. It's certainly possible. It's just that I don't know the answer to that question because I spent a couple months researching it, and I decided that what the concerns I were hearing that were really rising to the surface were that the machines are simply made poorly or not overseen very well at all by the federal government, and that the just flat-out errors and malfunctions were such a critical problem that they were losing the support all across the country for that reason alone, quite apart from whether or not one thought that there was malice involved. So So unfortunately, I can't really answer. I can't really speak to the question because I don't really know the answer. Mm-hmm. I can't talk knowledgeably about it. All I can say is that it wouldn't be impossible to do by any means because the software is very complex. It's not scrutinized by anyone. It's quite interesting when you look at it. I mean, the software is regarded as a proprietary secret. So you or I cannot go and ask for a copy to look at it. Only a few people are allowed to look at it. State officials are allowed to have a couple copies in escrow. But in practice, they almost never sit down and look at it closely. The public scrutineers, the people that are scrutinizing it for the public, are supposed to be the federal government, and they contract it out to a couple of private testing labs who scrutinize it. And in the past, those companies have said that they will not comment publicly about the results of any of their testings. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing was sort of a closed yeah. box, you know?
I need to jump in again to check the weather. Clive Thompson, our guest, his article, Can You Count on These Machines?, about touchscreen voting machines, from the New York Times Magazine on Sunday. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8 o'clock, some late-night comics returned to the air yesterday, namely Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Without the benefit of writers, we'll talk about their offerings and the future prospects of the television and movies with the Writers Guild of America on strike. Right now we're talking about whether we can trust touchscreen voting machines. Our guest Clive Thompson has investigated this. His article on it, Can You Count on These Machines?, was in last Sunday's New York Times Magazine. We welcome your questions for him and whether you are concerned about this. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. What's the problem? What's the answer? We welcome your thoughts and questions. Bill in Deerfield, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, our voting system is so screwed up. Touch screens are just one of the problems. I think secretaries of state that are partisan that can decide how many machines go to each precinct is probably a bigger problem. But in Mr. Thompson's paper yesterday, there was a really interesting op-ed piece presented by a guy named William Poundstone about a professor at the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who's got a very elegant solution. I know when he was talking about Pennsylvania, this solution may not work, but in a nutshell, it's basically every voter could get a photocopy of a randomly selected ballot. They could then go on a computer and with a serial number go to that serial number, which will correspond to the ballot, so the identity of the voter is secret, and see if the ballot that they have in their hand matches what is actually being tabulated. And if a few people did this, any fraud would be readily caught. And I don't know how it would actually be put into practice. This guy might be a good guest to have on to explain his idea, but I wonder if Mr. Thompson saw that op-ed and what he thinks about it.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought it was a delightful idea. I thought it was terrific, incredibly clever and elegant. In fact, actually, it would conform to Pennsylvania law, because Pennsylvania law only prohibits paper trails that could potentially expose the identity of the voter, and this one would not do that, as you point out. It would be a receipt that a voter would get that would be someone else's vote, randomized and anonymized. It would only have a serial number, and then you would go and you would. If you wanted to, you wouldn't have to. You would go online and you would check to see that vote was actually recorded correctly, because the server with all the votes would be online, again completely anonymous, and if only as the person who proposed the idea said, if only a very 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 tiny chunk of people, literally 50 or 60, did this, you would statistically speaking have a incredibly high chance of catching any fraud, or almost more important than fraud, flat-out error, i.e. machines that simply misrecorded votes. Now, so it's a great idea. I think there would be only one or two potential critical flaws with it. One is that we're talking about putting the votes on available online in a server, and I could see all sorts of red flags there in that you'd have to do it with incredible caution. Otherwise, you might accidentally allow people to see the votes of to see patterns in votes, to download the entire data and discover things. You might think it's impossible if the votes are anonymous, but we've discovered in the past when Amazon and Netflix have put supposedly anonymous data online for computer scientists to look at, that they've been able to discover things about it. So the only thing I would want to make sure before that was done is that it was really possible to do this safely without compromising voter anonymity. Other than that, it sounds like a really interesting idea.
Yeah, thanks very much, Bill, for the call. Clive Thompson, refresh our memories here on how many problems you discovered when you did your investigation, and really, were there enough of them to consider throw an election? Could this change an election?
The first answer to the question is that there were really, yes, lots of problems. There were literally, there's been hundreds or thousands of reports from voters of aberrant behavior on the machines. Now, I can't say that all those reports are necessarily the machine's fault. There's a good chance, and people who make the machines would argue, is that in a lot of cases people were probably making errors when they voted and attributing the error to the machine, i.e. they were accidentally touching the screen in two places at once, and that's why the vote seemed to flip, because the computer got confused, or they simply didn't understand the interface, or they forgot to vote and they thought that the machine misrecorded their vote, right? Now, even if that's true, that raises the problem of, well, why are the machines so complicated to use that people can actually believe there was an error? A lot of critics have said one of the problems with machines is simply that they're too complex. Fine for younger people or people that are very computer savvy like me, who would probably prefer it, but not great for senior citizens. So the fact of the matter is there are literally thousands of reports from people of problems with the machines. And then you get into the fact that whenever computer scientists have looked at the code, they've found, again, dozens and dozens of very, very serious software bugs and flaws and vulnerabilities. So, yes, I would say there's enough evidence out there that the machines are prone, at very least, to unpredictable error and malfunction, which is to say that they will probably work fine the vast majority of times, but when they malfunction, they're going to malfunction in a way that you can't predict and on a scale that you can't predict. And that's really what concerns people. Whether or not an election was thrown, I can't say. My research didn't focus on that. Whether or not elections have been harmed or damaged, mm-hmm. Yes, the public trust in the machines has been extremely damaged. The most prominent case is down in Florida, 2006. Congressional race in Sarasota. It was a race to replace Catherine Harris. Very, very prominent race.
Mm-hmm.
When the votes were counted by Ivotronic machines, by ESNS, they have no paper trail. When they were counted, the Democrat had lost by a mere 370 thereabouts votes. Tiny, 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 tiny margin. So they went into recount. Now, the problem was that they discovered that 18,000 people had undervoted. Now, what that means is an undervote is you go to the polls, there's, 20 different races, you vote in all the races except for one. That is an undervote in that race. There were 18,000 undervotes in this race between the two congressional candidates, and it was an enormously high number. A normal undervote is about 3%. This was about 13%. Something was aberrant. Mm. The candidate claims that what went wrong was the machines malfunctioned, that something was wrong with the screens or the software, they're not sure what, but when people tried to vote for her, it either flipped the vote or didn't record it. And she has hundreds of phone calls from concerned people who said they tried to vote for her and they saw aberrant behavior. So what you've got here is a situation where you have an erosion of trust. You cannot convince the loser that she lost. 2 years later, she's still fighting it. That, in a nutshell, is the biggest problem with the machines, is that whether or not they're actually malfunctioning or actually losing votes, they give off the appearance of doing so to the loser. So any loser who loses to a small margin has a vested interest in fighting it as far as it can go. Now, that's bad, as we can see, when you get a congressional race, it's tight because it's still being fought 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Imagine if it were a presidential race. That essentially is the biggest problem with the machines.
Yeah, and in our final minute, those same machines are going to be what Florida voters vote on in November for president?
Yeah, in Florida, no. Florida's actually getting rid of all the paper, getting rid of all the machines and going back to paper. But definitely one-third of voters across the country will go to the election using those touchscreen machines, including certain key swing states. Most notably, I would say the two ones to look at would be Pennsylvania and Virginia. They have voting machines, touchscreen machines with no paper trail, and they're both swing states.
Thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Take care.
Clive Thompson is contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. His article, Can You Count on These Machines?, was in Sunday's New York Times Magazine. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thanks to you for listening and calling in. Tomorrow during this hour, we're likely to have on a guest to analyze the results of the New Hampshire presidential primary voting. That's coming up tomorrow during this hour. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.